Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.
I'd like to begin today by stepping back in time to the Feast of All Saints and listen to Pope Benedict's words on that occasion.
The Solemnity of All Saints calls us to deepen our communion with the great figures of the Church who radiate the splendor of God's kingdom of truth and love. May we strive to imitate their heroic virtues and follow their example along the path of perfection.
Pope Benedict's words on that occasion highlight how, in the early days of Christianity, the members of the Church were called saints. Indeed, he stressed how Christians are already saints, because baptism unites them to Jesus and to his Paschal mystery, although he did add that at the same time they must become so. Clearly, Pope Benedict insisted on this occasion that aspiration to holiness is not just a privileged condition reserved for a few elect, but every Christian's task, a theme reflected in a talk delivered in the Vatican on Thursday, 16th of November, by the title of The Testimony of Saints Dedicated to the Care of Sick Elderly People by the Prior General of the Hospitaller Order of St. John of God, Brother Donatus Falcon. He spoke on the occasion of the 22nd International Conference sponsored by the
Pontifical Council for Health Pastoral Care,
focusing on the pastoral care of sick and elderly people. In an effort to find out more about Irishman Brother Falcon's talk, I went over to speak to him in his office at the headquarters of this five-century-old order. This is what he told me.
So who are these saints you're going to speak about, or you're going to speak more about their charism? Or, I mean, you have to identify who they are, no? You have to pick some.
I have to admit, when I was first asked, I was nervous. I was asked to give a talk at the conference, and I knew it was about the elderly in general, so I said sure. And then I inquired, well, what topic do you want me to speak about? When I was told saints caring for the elderly, I said, oh my God, there's no saints, very few, that jumps out at you. You're going to have to speak to 700 people from around the world about saints, and I know very few. And that really scared me. I went all into a panic. So what am I going to talk about? And then I read a little article on Pope John Paul I when he was bishop. And he was talking to the Women's Congress back in 1963, and he said, you mustn't forget that not all saints are canonized, that they're not all in pictures or in statues, that anybody who loves God is a saint. And I know a lot of people who love God. So I went immediately to start to reflect, well, where will I start? And I started back in my own place in the west of Ireland in the 50s. And I saw a lot of people who cared for the elderly. Ireland at that time was an impoverished country. It's only recently that it has developed. Immigration was the order of the day. Our family was the only exception. My father and mother, who are now in heaven, their ambition was that none of us would have to go to England. England was the place that people around our area went. The generation of people going to America was my mother's and father's generation. My generation, England was, of course, it was very close, but it was very far, so that we wouldn't have to immigrate. And they worked very hard on a small farm to keep us all at home, seven of us, which they did, to their credit. It was hard work. There was never money around, but we always had enough to eat. They sent us to school, educators, clothed. We were as happy as if we had a castle. But around us, there were many people who weren't as well off as us, whose daddies were working in the mines in England, the coal mines, or on the trains, or they were building roads. And some were working in big farms in Leeds and these places, these big farms. They go over for seasonal work. There were a lot of elderly people. There was no social security in Ireland in those days. There was very little. There was some, but it wasn't sufficient, really, for a person to survive. So there's a lot of elderly people who maybe had only one child and the rest had all gone away, and he or she would look after their elderly or sick parent. They sacrificed their own lives, postponed getting married or found a vocation into the religious life, to the brotherhood or the sisterhood or to the priesthood. I know many who looked after the parents until they died and postponed their own choice in life until they had fulfilled their filial obligation as they understood it. And I thought that's brilliant when you think of it, how unselfish it is, how generous it is, how there's a rightness about it. There's a sadness too, in the sense that the person has to wait until their 40s to decide to get married, for example. Or now we say in 40s going into the religious life or the priesthood, we say, well, that's fine. You know, you have experienced life and that's okay. And you have still many good years ahead to in the service of the Lord. But in those days, things were seen quite differently. People were seen old at 50. So now you're only getting into your stride at 60. So there were a lot of those people that we knew, and they're saints. There's no question about it. I know one of our own brothers whom I use as an example, Brother Sebastian, he was from Westmead, and he had put off following his vocation to religious life until he was in his 40s. He wanted to join us when he was in his 20s, but his parents became ill, and he had looked after them until they died, and he was in his 40s. He only lived with us for about 10 years, but a very exemplary brother and a great sensitivity for people who are suffering, probably from caring for his own parents.
But what about the canonized saints that looked after the sick elderly?
Canonized saints? There's a whole crowd of them. It's hard to know, to choose. But it's hard to identify, you know, the word elderly. Because centuries ago, people died young. So who is elderly? In Sierra Leone today, you're 35. If you're 40, you're elderly. If you're 55 or 50, you're very old. Because of the nature of things in many countries where there's violence and wars and disease. And this was the way in the time of St. John of God and that the people died young. But the elderly of those days, John of God, looked after the elderly. St. Camillus de Lillis here in Rome looked after the elderly. Jeanne Jougan in France, she looked after the elderly. So there's a whole lot of people who are canonized and are models for us, lay and religious, who devote their life looking not exclusively the elderly. Jeanne Jougan would probably be an exception, at least to the order she has founded. They look at pretty much the elderly to do other things, but perhaps it's because they're famous. They do it so well, looking after elderly people. Three of our own brothers in England are in nursing homes run by the Sisters of the Poor. A wonderful, warm hospital. They too take a vow of hospitality like ourselves because they're very close to us in spirit. We have a number of congregations who will be close to us in spirit. One of our own brothers, St. Benedictine, an Italian, who restored the order in Spain, he founded an order of sisters at the Hospital Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The spirit is the same as ourselves. They look after people. But the elderly people today and we would look after, a lot of them would be geriatric, psychogeriatric, people who are mentally ill. We would have nursing homes for people who are physically ill. But we are particularly orientated towards the mentally sick because of John of God's experience. And we're very few orders in the church. Male orders were probably, the only male order would be very much orientated looking after people who have mental health problems. So wherever we go in the world, and wherever you travel in the world, and I've traveled quite a bit, the people who are least cared for are the elderly. The elderly, if they survive, the mentally sick, people with disability, learning disability, physical disability, they are left behind. And, you know, like the Celtic tiger in Ireland and the Asian tiger in Korea, both countries that I have experienced were called tigers because of the sudden development which both have had and benefited from. But in that rush forward, there's people going to be left behind. You can't keep up. So who is left behind? The people who are sick, have disability, who are challenged in some way. There's nothing from there. Everybody's too busy making money, finding a way forward, and these people are left behind, and their carers, their families and people are struggling. And you ask for money, and say, we don't have money, we're building roads, we're building hospitals, we're so many things we need. And you never have enough. If you wait until you have enough, well, then nobody's ever going to do anything, because nobody ever has enough. And we know that from life experience in life. People go from big houses, big cars, and even jets. I saw today one of the sheikhs in Saudi Arabia, he's going to have a flying palace. He's going to buy one of these airplanes, the new ones, the buses. So, you know, what next? You know? So this is where Christ and religious orders and committed lay people and the church, we need to keep bringing these values back, keep reminding people, you know, okay, you need what you need, but don't forget, other people have nothing and are struggling. So as a sister and brother on the journey of life, you have an obligation to look back to your sister and brother in need, and to Linda helping out.
You were listening there to the Prior General of the Hospitaller Order of St. John of God, Brother Donatus Falcon, one of the speakers at the 22nd International Conference, sponsored by the Pontifical Council for Health Pastoral Care. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.